So we're going to continue our service now, and I'm going to hand over to Will Trevitt to read us our scripture before I bring the message to everyone. Over to you, Will.
The reading is taken from John, chapter 20, verses 1 to 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started out for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They did not yet understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?" Thinking that he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get to him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. Amen.
Thank you, Will, for our reading. Now, before I start, I just wanted to get our bearings, so to speak, in the Easter story. So last week, we remembered the Last Supper. That was on Maundy Thursday. That was when Jesus met for a very poignant Passover meal with those who were closest to him, his 12 disciples. It was difficult for Jesus because he knew that one of them was going to betray him, Judas Iscariot. And sure enough, after supper, Judas nips out and he betrays Jesus. Jesus and the remaining disciples head off to the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus is praying. We know he's in agonizing levels. He's got agonizing levels of anxiety because we're told that his sweat was as if it were drops of blood. He asks God to take away this cup from him, meaning, you know, "Lord, please, do I really have to go through with this?" But then he says, "Not your will, not my will, but yours be done." And then Judas comes along and betrays Jesus with a kiss. Peter then denies him three times before the cockerel crows. You can imagine how abandoned Jesus was feeling at that moment. And he then goes through a series of so-called trials. And so finally, he ends up on the road, the path to Golgotha, carrying his cross. And there in between two criminals, he is crucified. And we remembered that on Good Friday. We know he died and his body was then laid in a borrowed tomb. And so we pick up the story at the beginning of our reading. And Mary Magdalene comes to the tomb early while it was still dark, and she sees that the stone had been rolled away. Now, these stones were massive and took several men to move them. And so she runs and tells the other disciples, and they then run to the tomb, and they too see inside that the body is gone, but the grave cloths are still there. And Mary is then stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." It's interesting that we're not told that she was scared or afraid. It's almost as if she's having a casual conversation with the two angels. But let's see what happens next. Having said this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus clearly has a resurrection body. She thinks he's the gardener, but for some supernatural reason, Mary can't recognize Jesus for who she is. But that changes with one word. Jesus says to her, "Mary." And she turns to him and says in Aramaic, "Rabboni." You can just imagine the joy and passion in Mary's heart as she recognizes Jesus and sees him risen from the dead. You can just imagine her desperate to leap forward and to put her arms around him, or at least to fall at his feet and touch him. But he says, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." And so she goes off and she announces these things to the disciples and says, "I have seen the Lord." Why is this day the greatest day in history? Why is it that this day is the most transformational day in history? Well, I want to explain to you why we have emerged from the darkness and sadness and depression of Good Friday out into the glorious light of Easter Sunday as we celebrate the rising of Jesus Christ. We've moved from a day of utter hopelessness to a day of hope. And that's all because of Jesus Christ. I want to explain this to you using the word trust, because this story can be trusted. It is trustworthy. And so let's start with a T of trust. The T stands for truth. This story is true. We have four different accounts. They're not all exactly the same, in exactly the same way as if you read four different newspapers describing the same event. You would read four very different views of that story, depending on the bias of the writers. We know from another account that the soldiers were bribed. There'd been a guard on the tomb. The one thing the authorities didn't want to happen was for the body to go missing, because they'd heard that there were rumours that Jesus was going to rise from the dead. So they put an armed guard on there. Now, I know, having been in the army, this is of particular interest to me. But if you were a soldier and you were given some orders and you failed to carry out your orders, you would then be subjected to the punishment that you were supposed to be inflicting. And so these soldiers, if they'd failed to guard the body, they would have been executed. And we read elsewhere that they are bribed to say that somebody stole the body. We know from the reaction of the disciples. Now, I talked about Good Friday being a day of despair and hopelessness. Imagine you were one of those disciples. You had been following this Messiah figure for the last 3 years. You had given up everything. You'd left your family behind, your livelihood behind, and you'd been sitting with this guy all that time. And you thought he was going to come and usher in this new, wonderful kingdom like that of King David. And then one day, you see him executed like a common criminal. Your world comes to an end. They would have all been, we know, they were in hiding behind locked doors. And I want to ask you this question, because for me, this was the question that enabled me to become a Christian, is what is the one thing that could have persuaded those fearful disciples in hiding behind locked doors to become the fearless evangelists, almost all of whom died the most gruesome martyrdoms because of their faith in Jesus Christ? And I put it to you that it couldn't have been just because they'd heard someone say that they had seen Jesus alive, but only because they personally had seen Jesus risen from the dead. Think about that. If this was in a court of law, the jury's verdict would be overwhelmingly in favour for the truthfulness of this account. And the other little thing I love is women weren't even allowed to give evidence in a court of law. And yet, who do the writers of the Gospels say was the first person to witness the risen Lord Jesus Christ? Yup, a woman. If you were trying to make up a story that people would believe, you would never have chosen a woman as your first key witness. So that's the T. The R stands for resurrection. Now, many people over time have perhaps gone into a deep coma, perhaps have stopped breathing. You hear of people falling in ponds, in icy cold lakes, and their hearts stop breathing and they're brought back to life. Now, using the metaphor of a tunnel, that's like going into the tunnel and then getting pulled back out of the tunnel in the same direction. Jesus is the only person in history who's been all the way through the tunnel, right through to the far end. And this shows us that Jesus Christ really is God. No one else can do that. No one else can repair the watch apart from the watchmaker. God is all powerful. So a dead, decaying, beaten, bruised body, only God can bring fully back to life. So this helps us understand who Jesus really is. The U is for urgent. Now, we live in troubled times, don't we? I've had the slightly sad experience of going over my will, recording little videos for those who are nearest and dearest to me to watch, should the worst befall me. Now, we don't know when it's going to happen, do we? We're reading of mass burials in New York. This pandemic is horrific. So what I want to say to you is you can't put off a decision to follow Jesus Christ. This is urgent stuff. You need to respond. And finally, the T in trust is for transformation. This story should transform us, because if we understand that Jesus died, that he died in our place, he died so that our relationship with God could be restored. Remember, it's our sins. If these are our sins and this is us, back in the Garden of Eden before the fall, we had a completely clear, free relationship with God. But then sin entered the world and suddenly there's this great big barrier. And what Christ does is he comes along and he takes that off us, so that our relationship with God can be restored once again. And this is a transforming story. I don't know if you're like me, but I have a very checkered past, a past of some episodes of which I'm deeply ashamed. But Jesus has dealt with all my shame. He's dealt with all my sin. He's paid for it himself on that dreadful cross. So not only are my sins now forgiven, not only can I stand before God and I won't be condemned because Jesus has taken the condemnation which is rightly mine. But I now know I have eternal life. It doesn't get any better than that. Now, I really hope and pray that there is something in this incredible story, these incredible truths, that will transform you. If not now, if not today, perhaps this week, in the coming months. Because there is hope and healing in this story. Whatever your doubts, whatever your pain, whatever your hopelessness, the cross and the empty tomb stands above all of that. There is truth, healing and hope in Jesus' death and resurrection. Becoming a Christian, of course, doesn't inoculate you against this dreadful coronavirus. It doesn't wrap you in cotton wool. Bad things happen to good people. But what being a Christian does do is it cleans away all the disasters of your past. It wipes you down, so to speak. It creates in you a new spirit, a new life. It gives you a new purpose. And all you have to do to claim that is to turn to Christ now. And I'm going to pray a short prayer. I'm going to leave some gaps after each line. If you would like to commit your lives to Jesus this evening, now, all you need to do is to repeat this prayer after me. Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sorry for the things I have done wrong in my life. Perhaps you want to take a few moments just to lay before the Lord anything that's particularly on your conscience. Please forgive me. I now turn from everything which I know is wrong. Thank you that you died on the cross for me so that I could be forgiven and set free. Thank you that you offer me forgiveness and the gift of the Holy Spirit. I now receive that gift. Please come into my life by your Holy Spirit to be with me forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, if you have prayed that prayer, it may be that you prayed it years ago and you've recommitted yourselves to Jesus. Perhaps you've prayed that for the first time. Do please get in touch and let me know. I'd love to follow up with you. And I'll definitely be signposting you onto the Alpha course that's going to start on Wednesday, the 22nd of April at 7 p.m. Details will be on our website.
Hi, I just wanted to give a quick testimony of what's happened to me in the 4 years since coming to faith at BPC. I have an irreversible neurological disease. I used to live stream the services because I couldn't get out to come to service. When I did use my sticks to come to church, I think it was the third time I got prayed for, I left my sticks at church. I walked out of there and into my car, and I've not used those sticks since. Thank you, Jesus.
Please don't delay. Don't put it off. Turn to Christ now. Thank you.